Guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm joined in studio with James the Lionheart Dixon. James, how are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Like I said, I'm a little bit tired, a little bit hungry, but that's to be expected. I've got to drop a bit of weight, so I'll get that weight off, then refuel, and I'll be happy to punch somebody.
Nice. Nice. Look, this is going to be, I think, your debut on Octagon UK, Octagon MMA UK and Ireland, or Octagon MMA, as the entire brand. But this is not your first professional MMA fight. But the reason why I say Octagon MMA UK and Ireland is because they are quite a big brand. They do have like a global reach. So, I mean, for the fights itself coming up, for just everything for this particular event, how are you feeling and how are you preparing, and what do you make of your opponent himself?
I mean, so yeah, when it comes down to the event of Octagon, I'm super impressed. I've witnessed it firsthand. I helped train both Jake and Paul for their Stage to the Cage fight in Manchester, and yeah, I was there live for the show, and just the production value of the show was outstanding. So yeah, when it comes to Octagon, super impressed with just how they run things, the professionalism of everything. And their promotional ability, they're really marketing me and pushing me, which is only gonna help my brand. Obviously, it's gonna help them as well, but it's gonna massively help me also. And yeah, when it comes to my preparation, man, I'm feeling fantastic. It's been a long old time since I've been in the cage, from no fault of my own. Like last year, I had quite a lot of pullouts, quite a lot of shows cancel on me. So yeah, it would have been about 18 months or so since I'd fought last. And I'm very confident when I get in there April 20th, so what, 2 weeks today, you're going to see a massive improvement in my skill set. I know every facet of my game has improved tenfold, and I'm looking forward to showing it.
You say that a lot of the fights from the past, leading up to this particular event now, they were cancelled. The reasons why that happened was beyond your control. Now, the cancellation of the event, I can understand that that's really beyond other fighters' control. But you said that your opponent had pulled out on multiple occasions. Now, why was that? Is it because they just found you intimidating, or they knew they weren't going to win?
I mean, we can speculate. We can speculate. A few people, they ended up getting fights on other promotions. A few injuries and family bereavements, etc., etc. All could be valid, or they all could be, a disguise for the reality. I won't jump to conclusions. I know I wouldn't pull out of a fight for any unsubstantial reason, so I can only trust that they are the same. But it just seemed to be a little bit of a coincidence, and it was always involving me, so I'm just very grateful I'm contracted now to Octagon. It's such a professional show. I'm guaranteed fights, so this shouldn't be happening no more. I should be able to progress my career, as I want to.
This particular fight card coming up at Octagon MMA 56 on April 20th. I mean, for the UK and Ireland, they do have some specific and big names, including yourself. There's Shamrock. There's Dennis the Menace Frimpong. There is no, he's not fun. Not is it Aaron McValley? He's not fighting, though, is he?
AB's fighting. We've got a few big names, to be fair. Amari, Akani. There's a
Yes,
lot. There's a lot.
but I mean, I hope I'm not repeating myself. But do you feel that there's kind of like added pressure? That in this case, you really got to make sure that when you're in the cage, even before you get into the cage, fight camp preparation, nutrition, that you don't get anything wrong. Everything has to be on point, and that because you're performing on a bigger platform, not a wider stage. They do have a significant reach globally. I mean, do you feel that there's added pressure when you step into that cage?
So when it comes to getting everything right, but I'll be naive to think that you're going to go into a fight and everything is going to be perfect. And maybe that's why people pull out. They expect the stars to align, and that doesn't happen. People are going to get injured, people are going to get sick, etc., etc. That's the reality of it, you know. We're fighters at the end of the day, so regardless of what life throws at you, you turn up there, you fight, and you get paid for doing so. So, for me to wish that there's going to be some sort of perfect scenario around this fight, and it has to be perfect for me to turn up or for me to be successful, is not a reality. You know, I'm confident in my skill set regardless of what life throws at me, and regardless of, you know, what happens, I will go in there and I will fight. But yeah, when it comes to the added pressure of the show, look, I'm terrified for every fight, whether it's domestic, whether it was amateur, whether it's even a jiu-jitsu match. Every match or every fight absolutely petrifies me. But I genuinely feel like that's what keeps me sharp. That's what keeps me ready. And that's what makes it fun. If it didn't scare me, I wouldn't be doing this. You know, you don't go on a roller coaster because it isn't scary. This is exactly the same with fighting, right? So yeah. Of course, I'd be naive to deny that the bigger the show, the more the pressure. But I'm used to being scared. You know, I'm used to having pressure. You know, it's all self-inflicted. But then also, I can control it myself as well. You know, you've got to master your mind. You've got to master your emotions. And yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the experience. Very much looking forward to the experience, both the good and the bad. You know, we only get a finite amount of these in our life, so you know, you've got to learn to enjoy the good times and the bad times.
It's the first time me speaking to you and with every fighter, every person affiliated with combat sport. I always ask, can you just give a bit of info on your background? You know, who you are, your backstory, where you're coming from, and how you stumbled across mixed martial arts.
So yeah, when we talk about my backstory, if we're talking about like sporting endeavors, I had no base in martial arts. I played rugby at a very low level from the age of about 11 to 15. Literally just Sunday league. You know, I'd train or play once a week. That was it. You know, I was not a sporty kid. I was a very normal kid. You know, I didn't, you know, working class family, didn't grow up with like major hardship, nothing like this. You know, it's just your standard normal kid. You know, I come from a loving family. I'm blessed to have, you know, two brothers and a sister. We all love each other, all very, very close. You know, so there's no sob story to be had. I'd say that the biggest worry for me is being normal. You know, I never wanted to be a normal person. And I always felt like I was abnormal. Yeah, as soon as I saw MMA, I think it was from the age of about 14 or 15, I seen it on TV. I was mesmerized by it. I knew right there and then that's what I wanted to do. I went out and got a job, paid for my gym membership, and that's all she wrote. You know, I've not, I don't think a day has passed where I haven't thought about MMA since the age of 14, 15. It's other than my family and the love of my family. And maybe my love of food, it's been the most consistent thing in my life. And everything positive that's come with my life can be contributed to MMA. You know, it's now my job, in both fighting and coaching. You know, it's produced some of my closest and best friends. So yeah, it's I'm very grateful to have stumbled across it. But man, yeah, I was never a special athlete. I was never, you know, I don't have no sob story to be had. I'm a normal kid, man, or I was a normal kid, and I just worked hard. I worked hard consistently to get where I've got.
I hope I don't sound like a broken record when I say this, and you probably heard it quite a few times before now. It's probably a subject that some people don't like, are tired of hearing, but you've seen, of course, there's the rise of these YouTubers who are branching into combat sports, especially boxing. What's your opinion on that? Because now we have, of course, Jake Paul has been in the fold for a long while, and now. And I was shocked when I saw this on my Instagram feed. He's now going to be in what has now been confirmed. I think it's going to be an exhibition boxing match between himself and Mike Tyson. I mean, when you've talked about yourself and how you've worked hard, and credit to you because that shows that you've worked from the ground up and the sport is in your blood. But for someone like all these YouTubers and social media influencers, they're just because they've got the clout and they just want to add to that clout, they meddle in combat sports. I mean, how does that make you feel about the whole thing?
So I'd be torn with this. Obviously, I can't help but feel like opportunity and money and whatever else is being stolen from the real fighters. But when I try and compare it to something, I don't know if you remember in the past there was a thing where people were filming themselves giving a sandwich to homeless people, and this really angered me. But then I stopped and thought. I thought like, of course they're doing it for themselves, for their own clout online, but at least a homeless person gets a sandwich, right? So although there's a big negative, I'd say the positive outweighs it. I think this is the same thing with a Jake Paul. I truly believe martial arts is crucial for kids, whether it's boxing, whether it's kickboxing, whether it's jiu-jitsu, whatever it might be. I genuinely feel like it should almost be made mandatory at schools. I think it would be a big solution to bullying. I think it will help people understand a lot of things about life, accountability being a big one, a big factor. And although it angers me to see people like Jake Paul skip the queue as such, if it could just expose the sport, you know, even to just a handful of more kids and maybe change some lives, I'm all for it. You know, I think it is worth it in the end. So it does anger me. I cannot deny that. But in the grand scheme of things, I think the juice is worth the squeeze. And I think it will be a net positive for the generation coming up.
You've given me something else to think about there, and it does make a lot of sense what you said. Your boxing, no, sorry, not boxing, your fight record, your professional fight record, but most in particular, your amateur record is really, really good. I mean, for of to achieve that kind of success, a typical fight camp for you, I mean, how does that go? What's your nutrition like? What's the training like? Cornering like, and just everything as a whole before fight day.
So it's ever progressing. I would not say it's black and white, right and wrong. This is what a fight camp consists of. I think it massively depends on where I am physically and mentally in that moment, injury-wise, what opponent I'm coming up against, and just where I'm at in general in life. So it's hard to say as to what a typical fight camp looks like. One thing I can say is the diet will be the regimented thing. You know, my training will always be consistent. I'll train year round regardless of a fight. Obviously, there'll be peaks and troughs when it comes to intensity, you know, and sort of the amount of sessions I'll do a week, let's say. But I'll always train consistently. Obviously, the diet is where things massively change. I cut a fair bit of weight. You know, I walk around heavy. So, you know, 6 weeks out from a fight, things get pretty strict and pretty boring. Although it doesn't take too much dieting for me to get to welterweight, I will have to be relatively strict for 6 weeks, which I never quite enjoy. So yeah, that's probably the main consistent thing is the diet, the calorie deficit, and the strictness in my eating habits. When it comes to training, that's the enjoyable part. I do it year round, and I have to, not only because I enjoy it, but I teach. You know, I've got a whole plethora of fighters underneath me. And I have to remain in the know to be able to teach these guys. So yeah, I'm always thinking about the sport. I'm always trying to progress ideas in my head, and therefore I'm always training and, you know, and studying.
Can you talk a bit about your gym, what's called it, the Lion's Gym, and you've got a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, isn't it? Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been, it's not my gym. I'm the head coach now, but I've been there since I was very small. From about, like I said, 15 years old, I've been there. We're talking probably every week without fail, probably since I was 15, bar maybe when I had knee surgery. So yeah, it's a big part of my life. And I think this is one thing we don't see in too many fighters is a loyalty to their gym. Especially nowadays, and it's something I felt, hold very dear to my heart. Lions Gym is bigger than me, you know, it goes beyond me, and I think it's a pillar in the community. Our gym is in quite an impoverished area of Coventry, and I think it's critical to both kids and adults alike. You know, we're close to students, we're close to, like I said, impoverished kids and primary schools. And this is why I'll always stay loyal to Lions Gym no matter where I am in my career, where I am in the world, because I think it's very important for our city, not just on a fighter standpoint, but the amount of people, and it's not an embellishment of the truth, the amount of people are, you know, whether it's students or whether it's people that I've grew up with in Coventry that have messaged me and told me how critical Lions Gym and MMA or jiu-jitsu, whatever it might be, has been in their life. It truly amazes me, you know. So I'm super passionate about the gym. I'm there pretty much, you know, every day of the week, more or less Monday to Saturday. You know, it's the true love of my life. You know, I'm very passionate about Lions Gym. I'm very passionate about teaching. And yeah, like I said, I've got a plethora of fighters underneath me, amateur and professional. And it's something that I will continue to build, you know, whether it's fighters or whether it's just helping people in general day-to-day life. I love it to bits. You know, coaching is one of my favorite things to do in this world.
It's not something that I've seen before happen myself in real life in front of my eyes, but have you ever had the situation of a newcomer that comes to the gym? They've got a, you know, especially okay with men, and they've got a very big ego. They think that this stuff should come to them naturally, and they try to train and spar with you or one of you, the coach or the colleagues. Then actually, it turns out that they don't know anything at all, and you can actually see that this person was all talk and no action. Actually, there's, you know, there's nothing there.
This is, it's not super common, but it does happen. You know, you might get somebody come through the gym. I mean, it's actually one quite recently. We're talking last week. It will happen every now and again. You know, somebody, whether they come from another gym or what we're finding recently is the white collar MMA. Again, I feel like it's a net positive because it exposes the sport, and obviously they're doing it for charity, etc. But you get, I don't know if you're aware of the white collar MMA, but 8 weeks free training, and then they go and fight. It sort of feeds people maybe an unrealistic idea of, you know, how long it takes to prepare for a fight. So we'll get a lot of these white collar MMA guys. They've done 8 weeks training, you know, and they want to fight for us, whether it's amateur or professional. And I have to try and reel them in and make it a bit more realistic. You know, I will not have people represent myself or the gym. Like I said, I'm very passionate about the gym. I will not have people represent myself or the gym if they are not ready, both for our own safety, but for my own gym's reputation as well. It happens not regularly, but it will definitely happen, you know, once in a blue moon. And you've got to reel them in. Obviously, I try not to do it physically. And if it has to be done, I'll try and use, you know, every gym's got like a little mat enforcer, so you'll try and use somebody else, you know, to do that for you. But of course, you know, I'd imagine every gym around the country experiences this.
Your nickname, and I'm guessing the answer you give me may be very obvious, but how did you come about acquiring that?
So, I mean, there's three things that sort of stem around this nickname. The obvious one is Lions Gym. You know, you could argue I'm the heart of Lions Gym. You know, I'm the leader. I'm leading from the front of our gym, therefore Lionheart. When it comes to Lionheart as well, courage. I like to think I've displayed this in some fights and just in my general day-to-day life. And then finally, you know, I'm very passionate about Britain and representing our country. Obviously, there's Richard the Lionheart. So, you know, sort of three facets to the nickname. It just seemed a little bit fitting.
I see. No, because most people think Lionheart means you've got the heart to go in there and fight to the death to get the win. Last but by no means least, are there any shout outs you want to give? Family, friends, sponsors, coaches, and corner people?
So I tend to keep my shout outs very broad. Everyone knows who they are that supports me. So when we're talking friends, family, teammates, coaches, you know, everyone within my city and within my community, I've said it time and time again, this is an individual sport. Only I step into the cage. But I know that there's an army of people behind me, whether it's helping to prepare or to motivate me. I would not be doing this if it wasn't for these people. You know, I'm trying to make it, like I said before, look, I was not an athletic kid. If you see me when I was younger, if you spoke to friends, you know, that were friends with me in school, nobody would have guessed I would be here. fighting in Resort World, the NEC, literally in 2 weeks' time. Nobody would have guessed this. See, I'm doing it for people to realize that, you can achieve things with consistent hard work and dedication. Don't allow people to put you down. And I'm doing it for these people. So thank you to everyone that supports me. Thank you to everyone that helps me out. And I hope I do you guys proud.
There's just one last question I should have asked you before the shout outs round off, but you speak very well and you're quite articulate. Though I know this is something that is time consuming, I've seen that firsthand myself, but have you ever considered maybe considered probably starting your own podcast? Because like, you do seem like someone who people would listen to. You've got a lot to say, you come across quite clear.
Thank you, thank you. No, I mean, I've spoke about it to my friend a few times, about starting one. I don't know, I feel like I'd have to come up with maybe something a little bit different, maybe a YouTube series or something. Videos. My brother is absolutely exceptional with his camera work. If you ever check him out, Russell Dixon on YouTube, you'll see, or on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, you'll see he makes some absolutely spectacular stuff. So, like you said, it is very time consuming. And I've got so many ideas. At the minute, I'm very much focused on my coaching and on my fighting. So maybe in the future, but I'll definitely look to, I mean, I'm not too creative, but I'll definitely look to touch base with my brother and see if we can make something maybe a little bit different. But I mean, thank you for the compliments. It's definitely something I would love to do. Like I said, if I can help just one person out in life, it makes me a very happy person. So, being on YouTube or being on Spotify, wherever it might be, is just gonna, further my reach. That's what it's about, man. There's no point being selfish in this world. Time's fine out when you go to your grave. If all you ever looked out for is yourself, ain't nobody gonna remember you. I'd like to have many people remember me for being a nice guy, a helpful guy, and a very generous person.
James Lionheart Dixon, thank you so much for coming on the show. Guys, if you enjoyed this episode and you watched to the end, please don't forget to hit the like button and the subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. You can also catch the audio versions on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iTunes. If you're listening to the episode on Spotify, please don't forget to leave a rating. It does help grow the podcast as well. James, once again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Take care.
See you later.
See ya. And good luck for April 20th. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
See ya.